This is Greg Olson, inviting you to check out my new Blue Wire podcast, TE1, where I interview tight ends throughout the history of the NFL who have helped revolutionize the position. TE1 is presented by the Chevy Silverado. The Silverado is all about grit. It's strong and dependable, exactly like playing tight end. Just like the incredible players we sit down with on the podcast, the Chevy Silverado is in a league of its own. Strong, advanced, and dependable. Download TE1 today, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Fans, welcome to another episode of Bulls HQ, a Chicago Bulls podcast on the Blue Wire Sports Podcasting Network. Thank you for joining me on this episode of the show, one that is brought to you by Indeed and Bet Online. Thank you to them for sponsoring the show. We are back again this week talking Bulls, talking Billy Donovan, and I wanted to get in a little bit more detail about Billy Donovan and who he is as a coach now that we've had some time to digest it all. We understand, obviously, that Donovan is the coach of the Bulls, and here to help me do that, we're doing a bit of a Blue Wire crossover pod here. He's a co-host of The Uncontested. The Uncontested is an OKC Thunder podcast on the Blue Wire podcasting network. He is Jacob Niffen, and he joins me now on the podcast. Jacob, how are you, mate?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate you.
No problem, mate. Look, the first place I looked, I suppose, in terms of wanting to understand more about who Billy Donovan was my first thinking was, let's check the network on Blue Wire. Who do we have from a OKC point of view that we can get on Bulls HQ to make me a little bit smarter and hopefully educate the listeners as well as to who Billy Donovan is? And naturally, mate, your name popped up. So thank you for joining me making me a little bit smarter as to who Billy Donovan is. But I guess just firstly, what was your general and first high-level impressions about the news when you sort of saw Woj break the news earlier today?
Pretty surprised. I think that's probably a lot of people that, you know, it kind of came out of nowhere. I was not expecting this announcement. Honestly, I did not know if Billy Donovan was maybe the Bulls wanted Billy Donovan. I wasn't quite sure if Billy Donovan would want the Bulls. I thought a team that was more geared to compete immediately, a team maybe like the Philadelphia 76ers or maybe the New Orleans Pelicans, were more of a fit for Billy, considering, you know, he left Oklahoma City presumably because the Thunder are entering a rebuild and not going to be competitive anytime soon. Now, I do think the Bulls are farther along in a rebuild than the Thunder are, so that aspect of it makes a little bit of sense. But yes, I was pretty surprised when I saw that the Bulls had hired him today. But then after seeing some of Woj's reporting, it seems like once Billy left Oklahoma City, the Bulls were on him quick and were very aggressive in trying to get him to come up to Chicago.
Yeah, look, I feel exactly the same. I mean, Billy Donovan and Kenny Atkinson were at the top of my list because of where the Bulls rebuild is at specifically now, heading into year four of the rebuild. We're kind of at that interesting crossroads. We've been through three years of pain, the last couple with Jim Boylan, and we needed a bit of a refresh. And just for this specific situation for the Bulls, I was looking at experienced coaches, and Kenny Atkinson was really the only coach that was linked to the Bulls job that had any previous head coaching experience. And then obviously, as you sort of mentioned there, once Donovan became available, the Bulls had interest. And that's kind of where I thought it would stop. I didn't necessarily think Donovan would be interested in the Bulls because, to your point, the Bulls are still a rebuilding situation, obviously further down the road than OKC. But given that some of the available jobs out there, even Indiana and Philadelphia as an example, I thought, you know, Donovan would be a real shot to land one of those gigs. So very, very surprised myself. But it's the way it's played out. I'm pretty damn happy. But look, I know I have a general understanding of Billy Donovan as a coach, his philosophies, how he's sort of obviously gone in the NBA level and maybe, and obviously, you know, he's obviously had I think 19 years coaching at Florida. So he's got a ton of NBA or less NBA experience, but a ton of coaching experience more generally. But Yeah, how would you have rated Billy Donovan as a coach during his time at OKC? I'm just interested to get your thoughts on your general impression of Donovan's time at OKC.
I thought Donovan was a great coach. And you have to take kind of his coaching performance into context. Mm-hmm. Whenever he came to Oklahoma City, he took the job because he was coaching Serge Ibaka, Russell Westbrook, and Kevin Durant all in their primes. Comes in 2016 and really is a Klay Thompson barrage of threes in game six away from making the NBA finals as a rookie coach. Like, they were right there. Obviously, the next season, he doesn't have Kevin Durant. The franchise looks, or Serge Ibaka, franchise looks completely different. The roster looks different. That's the Russ MVP year. So he has massive roster turnover from year one to year two. Goes from year two to year three and adds Paul George and Carmelo Anthony. Year three to year four, loses Carmelo Anthony, adds Dennis Schroeder. And then year five, loses Russ and PG. So he hasn't had like a consistent roster his entire time in Oklahoma City. Besides that first year in OKC, has not made it out of the first round, albeit he has been in the playoffs every year. So it's kind of tough to evaluate him because nothing has been consistent for him. Now, I think this season is probably his most impressive coaching season. The Thunder came in with, I think, a 33.5 game over-under and blew that out of the water. Now, you can chalk a lot of that up to Chris Paul, right? Chris Paul was absolutely phenomenal for this team. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander made a jump. Danilo Gallinari was very good for Oklahoma City. But you can't overlook the impact that Billy Donovan had. He is a coach that is very player first. He is a coach that does not want the accolades or the recognition for what his team does. He wants his players to get those things. He kind of wants to exist in the background, and he really empowers his players. Those are some of the biggest things about him. And then player development. He is a great, great coach in helping develop young players, just become better basketball players on their own and become better basketball players in the context of the team. And I think that makes him a really good fit for, like you said, a Bulls team that is in a rebuild, but is in the latter stages of the rebuild. They have the Coby White. They have the Wendell Carter Jr. They have the Lauri Markkanen. They have the number four pick coming in here in about a month and a half. And then from there, it's development and winning time, right? They've kind of already gone through that process, it feels like the Bulls have. And Billy Donovan is a great coach to bring in with those young guys to help them grow.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. And look, that's something I wanted to, obviously, that's kind of the information I wanted to extract out of you. I mean, I think a lot of fans, more casual fans or fans who obviously have their specific teams, don't necessarily zone in on the Thunder like myself, let's say. I obviously don't follow the Thunder game to game as you do. So you're much more versed in this sense. But I think that's an interesting point that I wanted to sort of expand on, you know, Billy Donovan as a development coach, because I think a lot of people just sort of assume, you know, Donovan came into the league, like you sort of said, to win, and to win around a team built around Durant and Westbrook. Obviously, that changed quite a bit during his tenure there. But at the same time, he has all those years of experience sort of developing players at a collegiate level. So he's obviously got experience developing players, less so in the NBA, but obviously at college. But what are specific examples of the type of development you saw from Donovan in specific players during his tenure throughout OKC? Like, what are specific examples that you can note?
So as far as players are concerned, a lot of the young guys that have come through Oklahoma City have seen significant growth in their first year in the league. The first player I look at is Billy Donovan's, actually his first draft with Oklahoma City was the year that they traded Serge Ibaka to go get Victor Oladipo and Domantas Sabonis. And a lot of people thought Sabonis would not play early on for this team. Instead, he started nearly the entire year, actually at the four, a little out of position for Domas. So I think Domas is a good example there. Recently, you have like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's leap from year one to year two was pretty substantial. You look at this past season in 2019, they drafted Darius Bazley in the first round, a kid that didn't even play college ball. He took a New Balance internship. A lot of people thought he was going to be a G League guy all year. He ends up playing significant minutes in the playoffs. And then you also look at the 2019 draft, or I guess after the draft, when the Thunder pick up undrafted free agent rookie Lugans Dort, who, mm-hmm. you know, has become like the darling of the league. we call him the Lutang Clan, Lugans Dort, you know, absolutely locking up James Harden in the playoffs.
Yeah.
You also have guys like Hamidou Diallo, who was taken in the second round, uber athlete who really didn't have any refined basketball skill, who through Billy Donovan's tenure in the past 2 years in Oklahoma City, I mean, Hami has developed into really a rotation player for this team. A guy like Terrence Ferguson, who, albeit this year, has had a tough year. He also had a lot of off-the-court issues going on this year that I think really impacted him professionally. But when you look at where Terrence Ferguson was coming over, actually from your neck of the woods in Australia, playing an Australian league, coming over back to the States, you know, that there wasn't really high expectations for him, and he ended up playing great. And I think that's part of Billy's development plan is he plays young guys. He is not married to a rotation. He gets people in and out all the time. He says his players always need to be ready, and anybody can play on any given night. And he really tries to give those young guys a lot of time and a lot of burn in regular season games to get them that experience and get them comfortable. That way they're ready to go at any point in time. And I think that's big for development.
Yeah, I mean, look, that is music to my ears, certainly. And even someone like, you know, Darius Bazley was sort of coming along from my vantage point, at least. He was a player that was looking pretty good for OKC towards the back end of the season. And again, I guess it's hard to measure Billy Donovan from a development point of view when you're sort of on the outside looking in, because the OKC Thunder, obviously a very good team, not necessarily having, you know, top line draft picks, but they've been able to consistently develop these guys into good role players, into just quality role players who can just add to the depth of the roster. So in that sense, he's done a really good job from my vantage point. And you know, you're obviously saying something similar. But I guess one of the other talking points surrounding Billy Donovan is the fact that, you know, he obviously he's been with the Thunder for 4 or 5 years. He had access to a lot of high-level players like Durant, Westbrook, Paul George, etc. So whatever success he did have in the NBA is more attributable to them than anything that he necessarily did. I don't know if I agree with that or not, but that's generally the rhetoric that you sort of hear by certain pundits. I mean, how much stock should we Bulls fans be putting into that? And is there any credit or any merit to that sort of feedback?
So it's kind of hard to say, not having been around, like personally around Billy Donovan, but every indication is that, again, he is a guy that as a coach does not want the accolades. You look at him back at the University of Florida, he was not like a John Calipari. You know, John Calipari kind of is that Kentucky team. Billy wants to be more in the background, and he wants the players to kind of take ownership of the team and the players to get all the credit. I mean, there were times this season where Billy would call a timeout in the middle of the game and not even get in the huddle. He would let Chris Paul just talk to the team, like empowering players to step up and take ownership of the team. And as everything that we know now, you know, there's been some like back channeling that maybe Kevin Durant was not a fan of Billy Donovan, and that played a role in Kevin Durant leaving. As far as I know, Billy and Paul George, great relationship. Billy and Russell Westbrook, I mean, I don't know how great of a relationship any coach has with Russell Westbrook. I love Russell Westbrook to death. I bet all of his coaches drink heavily. You know, Paul George, Chris Paul had a great, great relationship with with Billy Donovan. And Chris Paul's kind of perceived goodbye video on Instagram after the end of the season unpromptly brings up Billy Donovan and how great of a relationship and how great of a coach Chris thought that Billy was. So with those star players, I think there is very much a mutual respect. Actually, at the end of the 2018-19 season, right before the Thunder traded away Russell Westbrook and Paul George, Dennis Schroeder actually had some interesting quotes in his exit interviews where he mentioned that Billy Donovan is a player's coach. And he kind of alluded to maybe he gives a little too much power to the players. Like he let Russ and PG kind of run the team maybe a little too much, and that Billy was maybe in the passenger seat a little too often. I think that definitely changed this year. But, you know, you could almost swing the pendulum to that opposite end, that maybe he's a little too much of a player's coach. I don't think there's anything really to that. I think that's probably more Dennis Schroeder was just a little upset at the time. But he is definitely a guy that that I think has great relationships with players. He is a relationship builder, which now you say, you know, you're not well versed in Oklahoma City basketball. Well, likewise, I'm not well versed in Chicago Bulls basketball, but I get the vibe that Jim Boylan wasn't really a guy that valued relationships and empowering players very much. He kind of ran a tight ship. I think Billy Donovan is going to be very polar opposite in that aspect.
Yeah, it's funny that you mentioned that, because the Bulls have a bit of a history now that we fans certainly at least might like to mock, in the sense that they sort of oscillate between, you know, a very player-friendly coach, then all, you know, they move away from that, and they, to correct that, they go into a very hard-ass type style of coach. We saw that with, you know, Scott Skiles and Vinny Del Negro, then Tom Thibodeau, then Fred Hoiberg, back to Jim Boylan. And now it seems like we're going more towards the player-centric coach, like with Billy Donovan, which probably is more, it makes a lot more sense as to where the league is at. It also makes a lot more sense as to the type of coach Arturis Karnaševs was sort of positioning this franchise to be, in terms of the franchise being more of a player-friendly type organization, which certainly wasn't the case under Jim Boylan. I mean, he didn't have a lot of good rapport with a lot of players, let's put it that way. But in terms of, or just extending on the previous question that I asked there, coming back to the star players that Billy Donovan sort of had a bit of a luxury, I suppose, in terms of coaching during his first 4 or 5 years in the NBA. A lot of the other, again, not criticism, but a lot of the other sort of feedback or talk around Billy Donovan is that his offense is somewhat stagnant. And you know, if you think about Durant and Westbrook, PG, Carmelo, those sorts of things, that the offense was highly predictable, a lot of pick and roll, very isolation driven, not a lot of movement to it, not much funk to the offense, let's say. I guess for me, again, not being versed in OKC, I have trouble from my vantage point trying to understand, is that Billy Donovan's ethos as a coach, the way he wants to play offense, or is that just coming back to the players that he had available, who are the type of players who typically like to go ISO or like to play pick and roll basketball, don't really exist in that motion style offense, which is something maybe that the Bulls are wanting to explore. How much of that is on Donovan? How much is that on players? How much is that on Donovan being able to sort of sell those players, maybe to shift their style? How does that all sit?
So, yeah, that's a great question. And I think you have to dig a little bit deep into that to get an answer. Billy Donovan can have an offensive philosophy, but then, so how good of a coach is he to convince those players to buy into that offensive philosophy, right? The isolation heavy basketball for the first 4 years of his 5 years in OKC. Again, I don't want to sound like I'm crapping on Russell Westbrook, because I love Russell Westbrook, but we're just going to call a spade, right? When you have Russell Westbrook on your team, your offense is going to be what it's going to be, because Russ is, I mean, he's Russ. He's going to do what he wants to do. And I think that was the case for a lot of Billy Donovan's tenure in OKC. He preaches very much ball movement, player movement. Ball movement, player movement. He wants guys cutting baseline. He wants the ball working from one side of the floor to the other. He's a really big fan of getting the ball to a playmaking big at the elbow and letting guys run off screens off that big. He did it a ton with Steven Adams. He did it a little bit with Domas Sabonis. I can envision him doing a lot with Wendell Carter Jr. He loves that kind of offense as well. Now, getting players to buy into that is a bit of a different story. Now, the Thunder from last season with Russell Westbrook and PG to this season with Chris Paul, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, Danilo Gallinari, they actually dropped in the league average, or in the league rankings of assists per game, but they rose to like top 6 or 7 in passes per game, where in previous seasons, the Thunder were like bottom 5 in the league consistently in passes per game. So even though they weren't racking up the assists, the infamous 3-point guard lineup that the Thunder ran, Dennis Schroeder, Chris Paul, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, was very good at driving, kicking, finding the open man, or finding the mismatch and letting one of those point guards go to work. That's the kind of offense that Billy Donovan wants to run. He wants the ball to swing from side to side. He wants bodies moving and not being stagnant. He wants like cuts and coming off screens. He really likes that high post motion offense. And he wants people attacking mismatches. Those stats on the passing specifically to me just kind of showed what Billy Donovan wanted to run as a coach. Now, I think his philosophy will be more easily implemented in Chicago, where there's not a superstar player who is going to command that the offense run a certain way. There's not a Chris Paul, there's not a Russell Westbrook, there's not a Kevin Durant, there's not a Paul George, right? I mean, the most offensively gifted player in Chicago right now is Zach LaVine. I love Zach LaVine, but he's not the kind of guy that you just, a player that you bow down to and you adjust your system to that player, right? He can fit more into a system. And so I think you're going to see a lot more success of Billy putting his offensive philosophy in play in Chicago, which is, again, ball movement, player movement, and he loves pick and roll, and he loves working out of that high post.
Perfect. See, and look, that's exactly why I got you on, because that is the context that I needed. That is the context that we Bulls fans probably needed as well, because I was probably leaning to what you were suggesting anyway, because, I mean, how much can you really control when you have Durant, Westbrook, and those sorts of things? I mean, any coach, regardless if it's Donovan or not, yeah, it's a tough order to sort of make or to redo or to reshape those guys' careers, I suppose, to a degree. But I'm very pleased to hear what you said there, in particular when you noted that point about Wendell Carter, because I think he's probably been the most misused Bull during Boylan's tenure. So I'm interested to see how Donovan sort of handles Wendell Carter. And I totally forgot that Sabonis was on the Thunder. It's been that long, I suppose. Yeah. The Thunder have gone through so many reiterations of their team that I even forgot Sabonis was on their team. And yeah, I now that I remember that, him passing from that sort of elbow area, even Steven Adams to agree with his DHOs, that is the role that I would hope that Wendell Carter sort of has a more expanded role in the Bulls offense. So it is very pleasing to hear,
definitely,
hear that.
And the Wendell Carter stuff. I mean, Wendell Carter has drawn a lot of comps to like early Al Horford.
Yeah.
Well, Billy Donovan coached Al Horford to back-to-back national championships in the University of Florida, so he knows how to utilize those passing bigs.
Perfect. Yeah. I mean, even better point. I mean, I totally forgot about that too, but that makes complete sense. I want to continue talking about Billy Donovan, but first, let's tell the listeners about this week's sponsors. First up, let me tell you about Indeed. Even though sports had a break, your business didn't. You have to keep moving, and that makes hiring more important than ever. Indeed is here to help. Indeed.com is the number one job site in the world because Indeed gets you the best people fast. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay for what you need, you can pause your account at any time, and there are no long-term contracts. Plus, Indeed provides powerful tools to make your search that much easier. Like sponsored jobs, which are shown to be 3.5 times more likely to result in a hire. With 73% of online job seekers visiting Indeed each month, Indeed is going to get you the important hire you need. Just like they have for 3 million businesses. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed out with free $75 credit at indeed.com/bluewire. This is their best offer available anywhere. Go right now to indeed.com/bluewire. Terms and conditions apply. Offer valid through September 30. I also want to tell you all about Bet Online. Folks, the wait is finally over. Football is officially back. You might not be at a game this year, but you can still be in the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on every possible chance to win this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than anywhere else. You can get in on the season opening bonuses today and start off wagering on wins, division, and championship futures all day, every day. Head to BetOnline today and take full advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Don't forget to use promo code BLUEWIRE at betonline.ag. That's BLUEWIRE, all one word, BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, back to the podcast, talking Billy Donovan with Jacob Niffen from the Uncontested podcast, an OKC podcast here on the Blue Wire Sports Podcasting Network. Jacob, I want to talk more about Billy Donovan's philosophy defensively, because again, the Thunder have gone through a lot of iterations of who the Thunder have been over the last few years, and given the personnel has changed so dramatically over the last couple of years, I'm interested to know has Donovan shifted from a defensive standpoint? It's pretty different when you go from having a team that has Ibaka, Westbrook, and Durant, a very long, lengthy team, even Andre Robertson you can add to that, to then going to a team where this season that just gone past where he's playing a lot of three-guard lineup. So I'm imagining his defense has changed somewhat, but maybe you can educate me a little bit more on that.
Yeah, so the defense is a little bit different than the offense. I think he has a very firm offensive philosophy. I think his defensive philosophy more varies on his personnel. And the best example I can give of that is in the Westbrook era in Oklahoma City. Again, your Bulls listeners are going to think that I'm just crapping all over Russ. It sounds so bad from a Thunder podcast.
No,
we love Russell Westbrook. I'm just very willing to admit his flaws. And it's a little easier to admit those flaws now that, you know, he's down in Houston instead of in Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
Russell Westbrook, absolutely infamous for dying on ball screens. If Russell Westbrook is guarding the ball and you screen him, he is going to switch. Which typically isn't the guy guarding the ball's job. It's the big's job to call the switch. But Russ would die on everything. So during the Russell Westbrook era in Oklahoma City with Billy Donovan, the way they would defend ball screens, which is 90% of your offense in the NBA, is they would have the big hedge incredibly hard, whether it be Serge Ibaka, Steven Adams, Carmelo Anthony, whoever. The big would step up off of the screen, pick up the guard, and try to make the guard make that wide turn to get around the corner, allowing somebody like Russ to get back into the play, and then the big would drop back. That changed this year, though, when you have four guards who were very good defensively, Chris Paul, Dennis Schroeder, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, and Lu Dort, who were willing to fight hard through screens to get back to the ball quick. When you have personnel and guards at the point of the attack that can do that, it allows you to change your defense. And so this year, the Thunder played a lot more drop coverage, where whenever the big would come up to screen, either Steven Adams, Nerlens Noel, Danilo Gallinari would instead play that drop coverage. They would come up back to the level of the screen or a little bit under and play that middle ground between the ball handler and the roll man, because the guards were quicker to get over screens and get back to their man. So he's not a big zone guy at all. I don't think I've ever seen the Thunder play zone since Billy Donovan's been here. But defending ball screens is absolutely essential in the NBA. And Donovan has been very flexible in how he goes about doing that based off his personnel. And this year, they were pretty successful as a team defensively. They had guys that were bought in defensively. They had smart, high IQ defensive players. Obviously, you have Chris Paul on the team, maybe the highest IQ basketball player in the league right now. And they were able to adjust their scheme to fit their personnel better this year when they had guards who were willing to sacrifice their bodies, get through screens, get skinny over the top of screens, and stay with the play more often. So I think his defensive philosophy is a little more fluid.
Okay, well, I mean, look, that's perfect to hear, because in some senses, the Bulls, specifically this season, they were playing a very trap-heavy defense, which is something, to your point, that OKC have played in the past when they had more of those athletes on board. When you can sort of play that style of basketball when you have, you know, Russell Westbrook, Kevin Durant, Serge Ibaka, Andre Robertson, these sorts of huge, big wing athletes, you can play that aggressive style of defense. But then to understand that he's able to shift that up or recognize what his personality is good and what they're good at, what they're not necessarily as good at, maybe shift his ideals around that, that's pretty pleasing to hear. Because again, coming back to what we've sort of had in Chicago the last couple of years under Boylan, but even Hoiberg, it kind of felt like the players had to fit within the coach's system, and maybe the coaches themselves couldn't necessarily adjust to the specific players. So again, that's really pleasing to hear, because I don't think this Bulls roster is necessarily equipped with a lot of players who can play this sort of scheme, particularly if someone like Chris Dunn was to leave in free agency. So that will be interesting to see how Donovan sort of goes through that situation. So I'm pretty happy to hear that. So I guess what I'm getting from you, from both sides of the ball, be it on offense, be it on defense, he's really adaptable based on his personnel. Is that a fair summation?
Yes, I think that's very fair. And he's going to be flexible, and there's a balance there. You know, you don't want to be so rigid of a coach that it's my system and you have to fit, and it's trying to shove a square peg into a round hole, or a round peg into a square hole. I forget what the saying is.
Yeah.
But It's also, you can't just say, oh, we'll do whatever the hell the players want either, right? There's a balance there. And I think Billy Donovan is pretty good at finding that balance. When you were talking about the defense of the Bulls over the past few years, one specific example came to my mind, and maybe you'll recall this, and maybe for you it's a bad memory. For me, it was pretty good. But Chicago visited Oklahoma City this past season, I think it was in December, and had a sizable lead. And then Chris Paul completely went off in the fourth quarter. Yeah, he ended up scoring like 40 because the Bulls kept switching onto him.
Yes.
And
yes.
He just, whoever switched onto him, Chris, it was just barbecue chicken. Chris just went to work. I don't think you're going to see that sort of philosophy with Billy. He's going to adjust on those and make those changes. And I know that that's anecdotal, right? That's one game, a small drop in the bucket. But that's what sticks out to me with Bulls defense. I don't think you're going to see as much of that under Billy Donovan.
Okay, cool. Well, look, I was very high on the hire. He's exactly the coach that I wanted to come into the Bulls situation for this specific timeline where the Bulls are at. So naturally going into this, I'm feeling pretty positive. You're selling me quite highly here at the moment. So
maybe I should be Billy Donovan's agent or something. I don't know.
Maybe you're doing a pretty good job of it, but I guess it's only fair at the same time to maybe go into some of the critiques that maybe you had or just the general criticism that maybe Donovan received during his tenure with the OKC Thunder. Obviously, we sort of touched on those sorts of things with, be it on the offensive, defensive end of the ball, but is there anything that else that we should be considering from a Bulls perspective that maybe, you know, Donovan is lacking in certain areas, or there's certain storylines that we're just not aware of, again, from our vantage point, that just may have been missed that maybe we should consider as Bulls fans with Donovan coming in? Is there any other criticisms that make sense to sort of level out here and be fair and justified about it?
Yeah, so I mean, I feel personally like in the NBA, when teams play good, the players get the credit. And when teams play bad, the coach gets the blame. I feel like that's a pretty fair summation of NBA basketball. So obviously there's been a fair amount of finger pointing at Billy Donovan. Most recently, and one of my finger pointing experiences with him was his adjustments in the playoffs. Now, his 2016 playoffs, you ask really anybody who covered those Thunder series, like, he outcoached Greg Popovich in that Western Conference semifinals. He figured out the magic code to break down the Golden State Warriors in that Western Conference finals. He was incredible. But since then, there have been some critiques. So take that second playoff run, the Russell Westbrook MVP year. Billy Donovan didn't try to use Victor Oladipo as the primary ball handler with the second unit until the closeout game. Before that, they were using Samaj Christian, which I don't expect you to know that name because that dude was awful.
I haven't heard that name in years. But
he refused to adjust until that closeout game. You look at here in the bubble, playing against the Houston Rockets, whose biggest player on the court was 6'6 PJ Tucker. But Billy Donovan consistently played a traditional big for all 48 minutes. He always had to have Adams or Nerlens Noel on the court, almost as like his safety blanket, and wouldn't adjust when it made more sense to put Gallinari at the five or Darius Bazley at the five. So there are some critiques about his rigidness in not being able to adjust, which is funny because some of his other critiques are during the regular season, he'll play lineups you never thought of. He'll throw out random groups of players just to see how they perform. Now, I like that aspect of Billy Donovan because it keeps your players engaged. If you have, you know, your 11th guy on the bench who comes in every night and never expects to play, well, if you play him randomly in a game here or there, you keep that player mentally engaged in the game, and I think that's good for your team, and it helps to develop players, right? It helps them to practice harder, to work, to want to get into more of those games. It's kind of that positive reinforcement. And so I do like that aspect of him, but some people argue about that. Oh, we should have won this game against the New Orleans Pelicans, but Billy Donovan pulled this random lineup out for 7 minutes in the third quarter that got outscored by 15 points and that lost them the game. To me, Billy comes across as a coach that doesn't worry as much about win-loss in the regular season. He's more trying to get his team to play the best basketball they can play at the end of the year. Now, with a rebuilding team that's trying to push for the playoffs in the Chicago Bulls, obviously those regular season games matter. But I think it's more of a personal opinion on what's more important, the end of the race or the middle of the race type of argument. And so there's a little bit of that criticism to him as well. But overall, I think if you're making a pros and cons list of Billy Donovan, there's a lot more pros than cons. I mean, this guy is a surefire basketball Hall of Fame type of guy for what he did, what he's done in the NBA, and especially what he did in the college game. And he's there for a reason. He lasted 5 years in Oklahoma City. He got the job in Chicago for a reason. He is a high quality coach.
Is it fair to say that he would still be in OKC if he wanted the job too? Like it doesn't feel like he's sort of kicked out to the curb. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's just from my vantage point. But it seems like he had a job there if he wanted it.
Yeah. So from all the reporting that's been done, the Thunder reportedly offered him a 2-year contract extension during the hiatus, which he turned down, and they tabled discussions till the end of the season. And really what it seems like and what's coming from the Thunder front office, which it's hard to take what they say at face value, not that they're intentionally lying, but they play their cards very close to the vest. Mm-hmm. I just don't think that Sam Presti and the Thunder front office are able to tell Billy Donovan what this team looks like 2, 3, 4, 5 years down the line, because they're not really sure, right? The plan is to get rid of Chris Paul, to get rid of Dennis Schroeder, to either trade or let Steven Adams expire, and to turn the keys over to these young guys, these 21-year-old kids, and then, you know, make selections or trades with the 5 million draft picks that they have and push forward. And for Billy Donovan, again, he came into the NBA. He made the leap as one of the best college coaches ever to the NBA because he was going to get to coach Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant and had the shot at titles. That is long gone out the window here in Oklahoma City. And so him making a change just kind of felt natural. Everything that's been said makes it seem like the job was Billy's. He chose to walk away.
Yeah, that was my read from it. But, you know, assuming he wanted to stay, it seems like he could have been almost a career coach in OKC. So, again, to me, that I read that as a positive. I guess coming back to the criticisms, again, from my vantage point, it's things like the ATOs that maybe I had some questions about, specifically in that Houston series, that last player that sort of got bungled up. Not necessarily the last play. I can't even remember now that it's a few weeks ago. But the play where everyone was sort of suggesting that maybe the pass should have been thrown to Steven Adams for the lob, then I probably don't have Steven Adams in that situation. But again, these are the types of criticisms that you can label on every single coach that has pretty much coached ever. I mean, even Greg Popovich has been criticized for certain rotation decisions, certain play calls, etc. So I don't know how relevant that necessarily is. And I guess one of the other criticisms that I hear specifically amongst Bulls fans, and this was probably generally, well, certainly not now, but maybe a week ago when he was so sort of first connected to the job, was, you know, is he a really elite coach? Is he a top level coach? Is he a championship level coach? Those sorts of questions. And I guess my natural reaction to that is like, it's not even relevant to the Bulls at this point. I mean, we haven't been in the playoffs for the last number of years. We just need a guy that can come in and get the Bulls from A to B, let's say, or, you know, whatever juncture they need to get to. They just need that connecting coach. And maybe Donovan is that championship level coach down the line in a few years' time. Who the hell knows? Obviously, a lot of things need to break right for the Bulls if that's ever to sort of materialize. But what they really need at this point is just some level of professionalism, competence, and someone that can sort of grow or develop a roster. And from what I'm hearing, Donovan is pretty much sounding like the perfect option to do that.
Yeah, and from an outsider's perspective looking at the Bulls, the restructuring of the front office, hiring Billy Donovan, all these things that the Bulls have done, to me signal they are on the right track. And I'm with you. I don't know if Billy Donovan is an NBA champion coach. I don't think the Bulls need to worry about that right now. You're not, no offense, you're not competing for a championship.
Yeah, of course.
You know,
yeah,
over the next few years, you know, that's going to take time. Not to hijack your podcast here, but can I flip and ask you a question?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. So the Bulls have now taken, they didn't take Billy Donovan from Oklahoma City, but they have a former Oklahoma City coach. The Bulls are kind of in this middling position where they could push for the playoffs next year. Don't have a lot of veteran leadership. Do you think there's any chance the Bulls come back to Oklahoma City, maybe looking for a point guard who just won second team All NBA?
I'm glad you asked this question, because that was literally going to be one of my final questions to you. And you were speaking to the right person, because outside of the players on this Bulls roster, and maybe even more so than these Bulls players rosters, I have probably two favorite players in this NBA, maybe three if I add Nikola Jokic. But they are Jimmy Butler. And a lot of people are probably sick of me talking about Jimmy Butler, particularly during these playoffs. But the other player who, you know, I just adore is Chris Paul. So I am extremely biased. The contract worries me some, particularly if I know a lot of Bulls fans have grand plans of maybe luring Giannis in 2021 during free agency. I think it's maybe a bit of a pipe dream, but I know a lot of fans aren't on board with the whole idea for Chris Paul, because it maybe takes away from that cap luxury of cap flexibility rather. Me trying to be a little bit more rational about it, I think the next year or two is more important. I don't think the Bulls are getting that sort of max level free agent, so I would be okay in, you know, taking a punt on someone like Chris Paul, particularly given how good he looked this season. And I think this Bulls team, what they've been lacking throughout the last 3 or 4 years is just some veteran leadership, as you sort of alluded to, but specifically from the point guard position. And the minute you sort of rebuild a franchise and you start rebuilding around two young big men in Larry Markkanen and Wendell Carter, and then you bring through players like Kobe White and Zach LaVine, who could score the ball really well for themselves but can't necessarily create for others, then I guess you're just setting up a problem where those big men that you're starting to build around aren't necessarily going to be, you're not going to extract the best value out of them. So this team needs that lead creator, that primary creator. And I think Chris Paul could be that for the first, you know, 44 minutes of a game. And then maybe you close with Zach LaVine taking the offense down the line or whatever it may be. So you were certainly talking to the right person. I'm on board with trying to manufacture some sort of deal for CP3. I don't know how. I don't know how many other Bulls fans maybe share my view on that, but I don't know. What does a fair deal look like for CP3? What would you be prepared to accept?
So, well, before I throw out like a hypothetical there, I assume you know this. I don't know, but Kobe White actually played for Chris's AAU team, I believe. Chris has a great relationship with Billy Donovan, and you can go, there's receipts. You can go back and listen to the podcast The Uncontested did after the Russell Westbrook for Chris Paul trade. And we were very, very down on Chris Paul. Like, okay. I was like, I don't even want him in Oklahoma City. Like, don't even put him on a plane. Right now, I will tell you, not as a basketball player, but as a man, Chris Paul is one of the most impressive leaders I have ever seen. If Chris Paul ran for political office, he would have my vote in a heartbeat. This man is a natural leader. The impact he had on Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Darius Bazley, absolutely profound. I think in 4 to 5 years from now, you're going to watch Shai Gilgeous-Alexander play basketball, and you're going to say that season with Chris Paul was maybe the most important thing in that kid's career. I mean, those two were inseparable. Chris was putting Shai on private planes with him, flying him out to California early before the Thunder would play like a Lakers game to spend time with his family. They watch film in each other's hotel rooms. They eat dinner together all the time. He is the consummate professional. And for somebody who really crapped on Chris Paul earlier on, I could not be more proud to have not that basketball player, but that man represent my city and wear my city's name on his chest. Absolutely incredible human being. With that being said, I've kind of flirted around with this, right? Like, both of our teams are not playing in the bubble right now, so we have more than enough time to kill on the trade machine. you know, something like an Otto Porter Jr., a Thomas Satoransky, and what, like a future lightly protected pick for Chris Paul? You know, I don't know if the Bulls want to, you know, punt on one of those picks, but like a 2021, like top 10 protected, a 2022 top 6 protected for Chris Paul, and in return, the Thunder take back, obviously, that expiring Otto Porter Jr. contract. I think something like that makes a little bit of sense. The Bulls obviously get to keep all their young guys, get to keep Zach. You know, you could swap out, you know, a Thomas Satoransky for a, oh gosh, why am I forgetting his name? Who's
that? Thad Young?
Thad Young, yeah. You could swap him out for like a Thad Young, which makes the money match up a little bit better. But something like that, I think the Thunder would be very, very interested in. It's kind of wild. The Thunder got got two picks and two swaps for trading Russell Westbrook, and it's looking like they're going to get another pick for trading Chris Paul.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Sam Presti's a genius. Again, I love the work that he's done. And before the Bulls hired Karnišovas, I was hopeful that maybe they could pry out Sam Presti out of OKC just based on the work that he's consistently done. But yeah, it's funny that you mentioned that CP3 trade, because I literally floated it on Twitter this morning, half jokingly, just through the haze of the excitement of everything that was sort of going on with Donovan. But I was there was some seriousness to it, in the sense that, you know, I was sort of suggesting that, you know, the Bulls are obviously bringing through Billy Donovan. Maybe they should bring through Chris Paul too. You've got Otto Porter's expiring. Thad Young can be an expiring, given that second year, or that third year rather, is only partially guaranteed. And then maybe if you attach a draft pick to it, maybe it doesn't have to be an unprotected pick, but as you sort of suggested, some sort of protections on those picks, then maybe that becomes pretty appealing for OKC, because that sort of frees up their cash position, enables them to jump into the rebuild. And obviously for the Bulls, they get that coach on the court, which would be obviously huge and may even help in that development of those players. So you look, I'm totally on board with it. You don't have to sell me on it, but maybe there's some listeners on here that maybe don't agree with it, but I'm very into it. But I guess the last question I had for you, and maybe taking it away from the Bulls, and now that I've got you on here, and just be interested to get your thoughts on where do OKC pivot from here? Because obviously they knew Donovan was gone. They're obviously going to do their own coaching search of sorts, but we're assuming the CP3 trade happens. We're assuming a rebuild happens, but where are your uncontested listeners sort of positioning the Thunder going forward?
Yeah, so for the coaching search, that is fascinating, because the Thunder, this will be the second, or I guess technically the third coach they'll hire in their Oklahoma City era. They obviously passed, let PJ Carlissimo go and brought in Scott Brooks, who was just the assistant. When they let Scott Brooks go, there wasn't really a coaching search. We all thought there would be, but there was one guy on the list, and it was Billy Donovan. Billy Donovan and Sam Presti had a long-standing relationship before that. There was no interview multiple people, go through the process and make a decision. They knew they were getting Billy Donovan. I don't think they know who they're going to get this time. And my assumption, I don't know any of this for sure, but my educated guess would be that they are not hiring a former head coach. They're going to get an assistant. They're going to get somebody from the college ranks. They're going to get somebody, number one, that they don't have to pay a whole heck of a lot on their first contract. They're going to get somebody young who is willing to grow with the team. And they're going to get somebody that is okay with losing in their first few years as a head coach. I would not be shocked if the Thunder hire somebody in their 30s for this head coaching position. I think that's kind of the direction they're going to go. With that being said, I think you hit the nail on the head. They're going to look to trade Chris Paul. I think Chris has value. I think there's going to be multiple suitors this offseason. Once Chris goes, then you're looking at deals for Dennis Schroeder. I don't know if they'll be able to trade Steven Adams. But you're looking at Steven Adams trades, and you're handing the keys to those young guys, and you're utilizing those draft picks you have in the future. I don't think they are. A lot of people like to float out the idea like the Thunder have all these picks. If Bradley Beal wants out, the Thunder could go trade and get him. If Karl Anthony Towns wants out, they could go get him. I think it is way more likely that the Thunder will trade draft picks for better draft picks. There's a prevailing thought kind of amongst OKC media members that the next great Thunder player is probably in high school right now. And so they're going to utilize those picks instead to go get a vet to move up to number one in a draft, number two in a draft, to go get a guy that they really, really like. Because if you go get Bradley Beal, he could walk in 2 years. But if you draft a guy, you have their restricted free agency rights and you control that guy for the foreseeable future. That's how a small market team like Oklahoma City has to operate. That's how they've suggested they will operate. That's how they've operated in the past. So all context tells us is that that's what this team will look like moving forward.
Yeah, look, I think OKC are obviously in a fantastic position. They've got all those picks coming from the Rockets, from the Clippers. Who the hell knows where else? I mean, they've obviously got Shea already. They're in a very good position. Obviously, you can trust Sam Presti to make the right decision. So I'd be pretty confident if I was a Thunder fan. But yeah, very interesting to see how it all plays out. I'm sure you guys are all pretty happy about it. I think you're right that they probably do go, an untried coach, maybe an assistant within the league or a college coach, as you sort of referenced there. It would be interesting to see if some of the coaches that were linked to the Bulls job, like a Wes Unseld Jr. or a Darvin Ham or whoever it may be, may get a look in with the OKC job now that they obviously aren't going to get the Bulls job. But yeah, very interesting. I was hoping I could sell you maybe on Jim Boylan, maybe being your next head coach, but it doesn't sound like you're interested in that one.
Yeah, I'm not putting my money down on that one.
No, fair
enough. There will no be Bet Online bets from me on Jim Boylan to the Thunder.
Very wise, very wise. But look, I had to get that last parting shot in there, particularly now that I'm riding the wave here with Billy Donovan being Bulls coach. I'm pretty happy about it. But look, Jacob, I appreciate you coming on, mate. I think the context that you have added to this conversation around who Billy Donovan is very important for us Bulls fans. I know we like to make assumptions as to how things sort of played out in different franchises, whether it's players, coaches, executives. But really, if we're not following a team day to day, then it's hard for us to truly comment on that. And that's why we need to get the experts of those teams on shows like this. So I really do appreciate you coming on. Before you get away, mate, tell the people where they can follow you online, the podcast, your Twitter, etc. How can people get a hold of you?
Awesome. So I am on Twitter at Jacob Niffen. Last name is K-N-I-F-F-E-N. Our podcast, The Uncontested, is also on Twitter at @the_uncontested. And you can find our podcast anywhere you download your pods at. We as well are on the Blue Wire Podcast Network. We drop podcasts at least twice a week. So if you're interested in listening to some Oklahoma City talk and us fantasize about all those draft picks and where we can trade Chris Paul to, feel free to tune in.
Perfect. People most certainly should be doing that. Obviously, follow Jacob, follow the Uncontested, follow all the pods on the Blue Wire Network, to be frank. But yeah, look, again, thank you, mate. I really do appreciate you coming on. This was really important for me to learn more about Billy Donovan. I'm speaking for the Bulls fans listening to this as well. I think this has been a valuable resource. So again, thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I enjoyed it.
Perfect. Thank you again to Jacob for coming on the show. Bulls fans, I hope you enjoyed this one. Hopefully you know a little bit more about Billy Donovan, who he is as a coach, what he potentially can bring to the Bulls as the new Bulls head coach. Hopefully you enjoyed this podcast. You're more informed. I certainly am. So thanks again for Jacob to coming onto the podcast. Follow me on Twitter if you want to as well, at MK Hoops. Follow the show on Twitter too, Bulls HQ Pod. Send us an email, bullshqpod@gmail.com. Hit me up on the email if you want to join the Bulls HQ Discord channel. If you want to be part of that, talking about Billy Donovan, anything Bulls related in the chat forum, come join us, send me an email. But that just about does it for this episode of Bulls HQ. Thank you for stopping by. We'll be back again very soon to talk more draft. But until then, this has been Bulls HQ. Speak soon, Bulls fans.